Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Good morning, Las Vegas. And it seems like I'm the only one that's awake at the moment. Mikasa's in there in the booth, just kind of giggling away. Because I can't find the fish. I can't find the Joe. So it looks like, at least for now, I'm flying so low. Look at that. Mikasa's thinking, I know he does some DJing work in there, and he's kind of doing the wiki wow wow in there. But welcome to the Mark Hoke Show, number one professional wrestling show here in Las Vegas. We are thrilled to have you joining us here on KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM, the talk of Las Vegas. I think I'm supposed to flip that around. I got to get that right. You'd think producing shows all week, I would be able to get that right. Yeah, but it's all good. It's 8 in the morning, and I had a long night, but I can't tell anybody about that. That would not be a good thing. But my God, if we thought last week was crazy, well, kids, I hope you all had your seatbelts buckled, because we had some good, some bad, some ugly, some sad, just amazing things going on in the world of pro wrestling this week. And I decided, since I'm kind of sitting here in my chair looking around, that we're going to start off with some sad news that took place this week. A legend in professional wrestling, beautiful Bobby Eaton of the Midnight Express, passed away on late Wednesday night, apparently died in his sleep. Of course, you guys all know Bobby from the Midnight Express, teaming with, and of course he did quite a few other things too in the world of wrestling, but Bobby, the tag team partner of Dennis Condrey and Sweet Stan Lane, along with the legendary manager Jim Cornette. Bobby was apparently having some health problems, but everything seemed fine, but unfortunately we got the news Thursday and Twitter blew up. And I think one thing to remember with Bobby outside of the ring was, I'll tell you what, there is not one person that could say a bad thing about Bobby Eaton. He was so giving, just known as one of the best workers in the business. I mean, people really, truly looked up to this guy. And with Bobby gone, it was a very sad time in the wrestling community. We saw Jim Cornette finally got a podcast up on his channel. I didn't get to listen to all of it, but boy, I'll tell you what, if you want to start choking up, you can listen to Jim, who of course his career intertwined. He actually knew Bobby from when he was a photographer in his teens, covering wrestling. And it's a very sad day for the loss of Bobby Eaton. Of course, inside the ring, we're all going to remember the Midnight Express. One of the greatest tag teams to ever grace the ring. And Bobby just was such a high flyer and an innovator. If Bobby was around today, good chance he's probably wrestling for world championships. But just going down through Bobby's resume, absolutely incredible what he did throughout the year. So many championships won. Really got started before the Midnight Express in tag teams with Coco Beware. Coco Beware was known as Sweet Pound Sugar back then. And, they were an outstanding team in the CWA. And, then the Midnight Express went on to conquer Mid-South with Dennis Condrey, and those guys sold 25,000 people at the Superdome. It was the biggest Mid-South show of all time, and of course then went on to Crockett Promotions, and Now, of course, made it all the way to WCW. A testament to how good Bobby Eaton and Jim Cornette were was when Dennis Condrey said, "Hey, you know what? I'm hanging it up," in the middle of a push they were getting. And they they just said, "You know what? Get another partner quick." And they got a hold of Stan Lane, got him in there. Of course, Stan Lane from the Fabulous Ones with Steve Kern, and brought Stan in and just kept right on rolling. But Bobby won Tag Team of the Year from the Wrestling Observer 3 years in a row, once with Condrey and then two with Lane. And was Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Tag Team of the Year with Stan Lane in 1987. So a lot of outpouring. If you want to check that out on Twitter, would highly recommend that you do that. Just amazing stories about Bobby Eaton, but he's going to be sorely missed. We also lost the Assassin as well. Jody Hamilton also passed away this week. He was in hospice care, and we lost him as well. Of course, you remember the Assassins tag team, but the Masked Assassins and a legendary tag team going all over the southern part of the country. And of course, Jody Hamilton went on to be a trainer and promoter. But we also lost Jody Hamilton as well. So our condolences to the families of both of those guys. Absolutely sad to see both of them not with us anymore. But I will say for Bobby, if you want to get a great retrospective, the Jim Cornette Experience, that is up on YouTube right now. So feel free to check that out. We would, and I'm sure you're gonna hear about a guy who, right along with Ric Flair, considered one of the greatest workers of all time. Now, the WWE had a little contract issue, that we found out about, and this wasn't just with somebody in developmental or anything like that. No. Nope. They lost track of Adam Cole's contract. Adam Cole, baby. Your top guy on NXT. Somebody that we've been waiting to get a push on the main rosters for a long time. Yeah, apparently, said a clerical error resulted in WWE missing out on the idea that, Adam Cole's contract was up. They had to go to Adam Cole and say to him, "Hey, we know you don't have a contract right now." And Adam Cole, probably knowing this already and gleefully dancing around, said, "Well, I'll tell you what, guys, I'll stick around through SummerSlam." So he's currently a free agent. A huge error on the part of WWE. Canyon Seaman apparently got fired because of this. But this is an unbelievable story. How does the WWE not keep track of a contract? Kaza, I don't know about you, but if I have employees that I'm looking at, trying to keep track of the contracts, I probably have a little spreadsheet somewhere saying, "Hey, we got this guy signed through here. Here's his salary, and you kind of look at that every once in a while, and okay, who do we have to keep an eye on, negotiate with?" It's unreal that a company like World Wrestling Entertainment could make that error. But they did. So all of a sudden, Vince McMahon has Adam Cole up at SmackDown on Friday. And apparently a little whining and dining was going on with that one. A lot of reports have come out about Cole being made an offer. Vince McMahon apparently took a liking to him, because we all know that Vince, for some reason, doesn't pay attention to NXT. Don't ask me why, but I think he might have been a little in our next story that we're going to talk about. But Cole was, the rumors have it that Adam Cole was offered a $1 million a year contract. He was making around $100,000. So Vince decided, let's keep this simple. We're just going to put a goose egg up on the board. for you, and let's see if that gets you to stay. Of course, you know, the situation with him going to AEW, Tony Khan would not comment on any contract negotiations with him, but certainly this is going to be an incredible story that Adam Cole now apparently has a $1 million offer on the table to stay. And I really thought that that's something like that was what it was going to take to get Adam Cole to stay with WWE. Obviously, you know, he's been as a stalwart on NXT, of course, and we all remember him from his time in Ring of Honor, how incredible he was there, how much he developed. And now Cole being put on the spot here. And a lot of people were saying, well, Adam Cole should go to NXT or go to AEW. And, you know, he's got his friends there. Of course, he is dating the women's champion of AEW, Britt Baker. And, it's a natural fit. You know, Vince is just going to screw you up when you go up to the main roster. Just go to AEW. And honestly, I felt like that would have been his best move as well, unless Vince threw him the money. Well, apparently Vince got out the suitcase. So what do you do if you're Adam Cole at this point? If you run down the NXT champions and see what they've received over the the pushes they've received over the past 5 or 6 years, and even going back all the way to Seth Rollins being the first NXT champion, you start running this list down. Well, obviously Rollins became world champion. Big E was the next NXT champion. He's finally getting, the tag teams and the New Day. Big E got a push, but he's finally getting a singles push. Bo Dallas got buried. Adrian Neville, of course, known as Pac, was the stalwart on 205 Live, but he never went anywhere. Sami Zayn got, it's the Intercontinental title reign, but Sammy's kind of floating out there right now. Kevin Owens won the Universal title. Finn Balor had the Universal title for a day. Samoa Joe got some title shots, never got that really big push, and of course had all the injury issues. Shinsuke Nakamura got a big push, but never won the world title. Bobby Roode ended up getting thrown in tag teams. Drew McIntyre, probably the last guy that had any success on the main roster as a former NXT champion, of course, won the world title and was world champion through most of the pandemic. Andrade, gone. Aleister Black, gone. Tommaso Ciampa is still in NXT. Johnny Gargano, still in NXT. Keith Lee got up, got a push, and then got pushed right back down and had all these issues, whether it was injury or trademark or whatever that was. And we saw how Karrion Kross got treated when he just got up. So if you're Adam Cole right now, and you hear that the WWE is putting the emphasis on, we need bigger guys. We don't want older guys. And Cole's still relatively young. He's 32. And you see how people from NXT have gotten treated when they've gone up to the main roster. It's got to be a scary proposition for Adam Cole to go up to the main roster and re-sign when he has a chance to go to AEW and be one of probably the top five guys in the organization. But money can talk, and Adam Cole getting a potential $1 million-a-year contract, boy, that's hard to turn that down. There's a lot of things that I'd probably do for Vince McMahon if he said, hey, Mark, here's $1 million. Go for it. Here's a chicken suit. Well, okay, Vince. Because we have seen them do some crazy things with these guys. And Triple H, of course, has done a pretty darn good job with the NXT wrestlers, building them up, telling some great stories. The legendary Ciampa and Johnny Gargano run was just a thing of beauty. And, of course, Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era, one of the top groups in wrestling. Everybody loved watching those guys go. So if you're Adam Cole, what do you do? What do you do? Man, that's got to be hard to turn that contract down. Oh, my God. So Adam Cole, we're going to find out what's going to happen with him after SummerSlam. But that is an unbelievable story. God, how do you not know? Keep track of the contract. How do you not do it? Oh, good Lord. Well, and then one thing that I'm sure that Mr. Cole got to see on Friday that a lot of the wrestling community absolutely lost their minds over was, you know, you're going into negotiations with Adam Cole and you just happened to release one of his best friends. Oh, boy. The axe fell on NXT this week. 13 of their roster, about 20%, were released by WWE during SmackDown. That's like a political news dump that they do on typically on Fridays at 5 o'clock. The White House or somebody will put out some stories that they just want to kind of get buried over the weekend. I don't know if they thought that nobody was going to notice this, but good Lord, a lot of people lost their jobs this week. Here's the list. Bobby Fish, of course, former member of the Undisputed Era, tag team champion, and of course, we've known all his work from Ring of Honor as well. Bronson Reed, Jake Atlas, Ari Sterling, Kona Reeves, Leon Ruff, Stephon Smith, Tyler Rust, Zechariah Smith, Asher Hale, Giant Zangier, and Mercedes Martinez, all gone. Now, some of those names, obviously not big ones, but Bobby Fish obviously stands out. Fish going down ruins any chance of possibly getting the Undisputed Era back together. And I, for one, would have loved to have seen that with if you take Cole up, you bring Fish and O'Reilly and Roderick Strong back along with him, and you have a natural feud between Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. But Bobby Fish is no longer there. Bronson Reed, also gone. Reed, a very incredibly agile big man. If you haven't seen him, you know, international appeal, this guy really looked like he had all the tools and fit into Vince McMahon's big sweaty men mold that he loves to have so much. But Bronson Reed, and a lot of people were shocked, and you know, and Reed kind of sounded a little like, okay, whoever wants me, let's go. I know I'm really good, so let's get this thing going. But Reed gone. Mercedes Martinez is also kind of one that really, I think, is disappointing. Of course, she got put into that ridiculous retribution angle and just killed her momentum. Mercedes Martinez is someone that I think AEW should definitely be taking a look at. The rest of them, Jake Atlas has a pretty good reputation. A lot of people like Ari Sterling, too. But overall, the overall reaction to this wasn't just, you know, okay, we lost Reed, we lost Fish, but what in God's name is going on at WWE right now? They have released so many people over the past 2 years. I mean, I could read the list of releases so far this year, but it is so long. But you look at people that are out of there, like, of course, Ric Flair just got released. Bray Wyatt is gone. Buddy Murphy, Tyler Breeze, and Fandango were let go. Aleister Black, Ruby Riott, Bo Dallas. I mean, this list just goes on and on and on. What is happening over in Stamford? Now, Vince, there was a report on Cultaholic today that came up that said that with the NXT situation, that they were looking, what WWE had planned to do was they wanted to open up performance centers worldwide and have guys going between the groups, and you'd have NXT Japan, NXT India. You know, they do have the UK group. But then when the pandemic hit, according to this article on Cultaholic, within a year, the source told us they could see brakes being pumped on that and talent being parked with an enhanced focus on launching NXT in USA. Once that happened, the pandemic occurred shortly after, and everything came to a screeching halt. And they are restructuring NXT. Another report that came out said that basically Vince doesn't want any of the small guys. He doesn't want older guys. He's looking for Roman Reigns types, and that's it. Of course, then you look at some of these guys and go like, so how does Bronson Reed not fit into that? I mean, just it's mind-boggling what is happening there, and a lot of people are more suspect that this is more a setup for a sale for Vince McMahon to sell off the WWE with all these talent cuts, or it could be just business. If you look at this group, how many of those guys and gals are going to be main eventers in WWE? You know, you could probably have a debate about Bronson Reed, but but even somebody like Bobby Fish, is Bobby Fish going to be a major draw on the main roster with WWE? Now, you put him in, keep him in the tag team with the Red Dragon, or maybe Team of Strong or somebody else. Bobby Fish can maybe draw, but is he a main event guy? And apparently what is coming out is they only want to have people down there that they think could someday main event WrestleMania. It's sad, but you kind of look at this and say, I can see that. I can see why some of these people aren't going to be staying with the organization anymore. And boy, I'll tell you, this brings back Vince's little comment at his stockholders meeting where he was discussing sending talent to AEW. There's a list there that it's going to be, somewhat difficult to not pick some of those guys up. And I'm sure that a few of these people will end up on an AEW roster. But, wow, this is tough. And a lot of people at WWE are really panicking. We talked last week about how morale's down over there. And then when you clear out this many people, and especially during the SmackDown show, man, that's got to be tough. That's got to be tough to watch. So, WWE seems to be in a little bit of chaos right now. Can they get back? Can they square this up and get everybody happy and on the same page again? Who knows? We're going to find out probably after SummerSlam. But we'll see how that turns out. We also, of course, have SummerSlam coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the card. We'll kind of break that down. And we'll take a look at Raw and Dynamite. And we're also going to take a tiny little look at somebody who won an Olympic gold medal that apparently wants to join WWE. Maybe. And of course, we want to remind everybody, hey, give us a follow on The Mark Hoke Show on our social media. We've got, of course, our Facebook page, The Mark Hoke Show, on Twitter, Mark Hoke Show. We'd love to have you join us and follow us there as well. Of course, we are also available now on quite a few different outlets. Give me one second and I'll run this down for you real quick. But we are now on, my page disappeared. That's amazing how that works. We'll break that. We'll have to pull that up and give that to you in a little bit. But we are out there in quite a few different places, so we would love to have you join us. And we're getting close to break here. Maybe we could go to that. Oh, we got a minute left. And just found out the fish was sleeping. Ay. The fish is going to get drowned for that one. That's for sure. Oh, my God. What a morning. But we are very excited about more exciting information, news, and commentary about professional wrestling coming up here on The Mark Hoke Show. And the second half of the show coming up, and we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Hi, Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress, and I'll make you a promise. When you go into any Best Mattress location, you'll be treated to a great, great experience. Our highly trained people really care about helping you. You notice that the minute you walk in. But it doesn't stop with them. The guys who deliver and set up your bed are just as respectful and helpful. I insist on it. You won't get better service anywhere, and you can't find better prices anywhere. Best Mattress, home of the Sleep Easy Guarantee.
Maybe it's time to take a fresh look at everything we thought we knew about landing a great job. For instance, what if phenomenal careers start at the middle school science fair instead of at the job fair? If being the captain of the robotics team means just as much on a college application as being captain of the football team? And if knowing the quadratic formula is every bit as important as knowing the right people? Well, the fact is, the jobs of the future will be heavily geared towards science, technology, engineering, and math. In other words, the future is STEM. More opportunities, better pay. And the road to these great jobs starts as early as middle school. So if you're a student, talk to your school counselor about STEM. If you're a parent, talk to your kids. Because the job you'll get in the future may very well depend on what you do today. A public service message from America's Navy.
License number NSCB 79415, 007-9414.
Zach, what's the biggest plumbing emergency the average person will ever face?
The biggest emergency is when the bottom of their water heater rusts out.
Right. And what kind of vehicle shows up during an emergency?
Well, if you're lucky, the Batmobile.
This isn't about fighting crime. It's about fixing something that needs to be fixed urgently.
I give up.
An ambulance. That's what shows up in a water heater emergency.
You saying you bought us some rapid response ambulances to drive to water heater jobs?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Zach.
You wanting to be the king of water heaters?
It's always been a dream of mine.
For real, you got some special trucks just for water heater jobs?
We're in it to win it, Zach.
Hey, why don't we get one of those big lights to shine up in the sky?
You mean like the bat signal?
Yeah, but Sadie, the guard dog, on it.
Zach, I'm going to do that when we've installed our 1,000th water heater.
Call now, folks. Call right now.
GOETTL.com.
NASCAR weekend returns and fans are welcome. It's a South Point 400 NASCAR playoff race. Free kids tickets Friday and Saturday. Just $10 on Sunday. Fast cars racing at over 200 miles per hour, fresh air, and a glimpse of normalcy for your family. Get your NASCAR tickets now at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, September 24th through the 26th. The perfect way to spend your weekend with late afternoon start times. 12 left in the playoffs. Who will take home the win? Will it be local Kurt Busch for a repeat win? Get your tickets now at LVMS.com.
101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. The opinions of the hosts on KDWN are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
All right, and we are back on The Mark Hoke Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Hoke. A little lonely today. I'm sad. But it's all good, because we're talking about professional wrestling, WWE, WN, beyond. And you know, it's just been a crazy week. But now we guess we're going to take a look at what's been going on in the shows this week. Raw, SmackDown, and Dynamite, as we, of course, are getting ready for Rampage on AEW to debut next week and a couple weeks from now. Oh, the best in the world might be showing up. CM Punk, baby. Oh, I love that guy. I love that guy. I can't wait. Daniel Bryan and CM Punk showing up in AEW is going to be something special. And I just wonder if we're going to be seeing Bray Wyatt out there too. Of course, Wyndham Rotunda. I don't even think we can call him Bray Wyatt anymore. I mean, I'm sure that's trademarked by WWE, so we're not going to be hearing that name. But, you know, and it'll be interesting to see if he does sign with AEW, which I would imagine he would, what they're going to do with him, because it would seem that there's a tailor-made storyline there with him taking over the Dark Order. Of course, Brody Lee, after his passing, he was the exalted one with them. But Bray Wyatt coming in would, or Wyndham Rotunda would really kind of make that group back to what they were. It's kind of hard to be a Dark Order when you're running around like a bunch of goofballs. I've never heard of a Dark Order that was baby face, happy, fun kind of guys that, you know, Hangman Adam Page is out having a beer with. That just doesn't seem to make sense to me. I would think Dark Order would be, well, dark. Kind of makes sense. But we'll talk about what happened on AEW last week. Of course, on Raw this week, oh, good Lord. Can we please get some wrestling writers on this show? Please? I don't want to say it's unwatchable, but it's just, it just gets to be so painful every week. I swear to God, I would not want to be on Raw. Like, give me over SmackDown. At least that's a, things are going a little bit better over there. But when you're hiring comedy writers who don't know what's going on, and oh, Vince, come on, buddy. I know it's an entertainment show, but can we get back to the wrestling part just a little bit? So here's what happened on Raw. So Bobby Lashley and Goldberg make their match official. Not that we didn't know this wasn't official already. The challenge got laid down, and Bobby was like, eh. Well, Goldberg came out and kind of trashed MVP. MVP taking the old spear. And we now officially have Bobby Lashley and Goldberg at SummerSlam. I'm going to SummerSlam. Am I excited about this match? I'll tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited for about 20 seconds to go, Goldberg, Goldberg. And then I just want Bobby Lashley to trash him in 3 minutes. I just want it done. I am so tired of these Goldberg comebacks. And if Goldberg wins the WWE Championship, that would seem like an incomprehensible thing to happen. But if they kill Lashley off like they killed Bray Wyatt off for Bill Goldberg. And don't get me wrong, I love Bill Goldberg. I think he's a lot of fun to watch in the ring, and the run in WCW was phenomenal. And it was a lot of fun with him and Brock Lesnar too, but this just seemed like there's just something they're going to be setting up. Someone's going to do a run in at the end of this match or something like that and come after Lashley, but yeah. Not excited. Not excited. Drew McIntyre is messing around with Veer and Shanky. A handicap match. These, you know, WWE on Raw has been doing so many handicap matches. And the guy who's handicapped always wins. I'd like to see, you know, why not give Veer and Shanky the win on this? I mean, this was a disqualification, but of course, Jinder Mahal stepping in on that. I'm excited to see Drew and Jinder. Of course, these guys go long way back, the 3MB days and all that fun stuff. But, oh man, Drew, you're falling fast, buddy. You got to do something. So we love you. Rhea Ripley beat Nia Jax. So Rhea Ripley continues to set her run up to SummerSlam. Hey, a Mason T-Bar retribution is showing. Citing him for as they beat Mansoor and their former leader, Mustafa Ali. And I'm going to throw something in here about T-Bar. Of course, that's Donovan Dijakovic. The matches that he had with Keith Lee. I mean, this is a guy who's about nearly 7 feet tall. Huge guy. Incredibly agile. Powerful. Can do so many things in the ring. And he is saddled with this heinous, horrible gimmick, and he's named after a thong sticking out. That's what a T-bar is, in case you didn't know. Oh. And then you wonder why people think that Adam Cole should sign with AEW. Dijakovic was looking great in NXT, looked like he was going to be a superstar, and now he's T-bar. But hey, good for them. They win. Charlotte Flair getting into it with Nikki A.S.H. A bizarre match. If you didn't see this one, Charlotte was basically beating the hell out of her for about 14 and a half minutes. Just nonstop. Nikki got no offense whatsoever. The world champion got no offense. But all of a sudden, a little rally at the end for about 25, 30 seconds. And Nikki wins the match. Well, good for her. But boy, that was just strange. Keith Lee turns around and beats Karrion Kross. After Karrion Kross beat Keith Lee, Kross is still the NXT champion and lost to Jeff Hardy in that two-minute match. Still no Scarlett, so apparently Vince is going to give us the Scarlett is giving Karrion Kross all his powers after Karrion Kross was destroying everybody on NXT. Looking great. And now the blonde is the key to it, apparently. Okay, whatever you say, guys. But Karrion Kross loses again. Almost beat Riddle. Still not sure what to think about Almost yet. But he's Raw. We'll just call him that. But just not sure with this tag team. And I swear to God, AJ Styles and Almost are being treated as a heel team. Why they... But everybody's cheering for him. It's got to be driving WWE nuts. So you're supposed to hate these guys. Not working out. And Damian Priest. I got to give props to Damian Priest. He pinned John Morrison not once, but twice on the same show. He beats him in a match. And then we get Priest and Ricochet against John Morrison and Sheamus. And Priest pins Morrison again. Oh, Johnny Drip Drip can't be happy about that. But what are you doing? Ugh. Beating the same guy twice in the same night? Unreal. Yeah, we had a Tamina Dewdrop sighting too. Why is Eva Marie on television? Could someone please, please, for the love of God, explain this to me? Is she attractive? Yes. Is she good? She's attractive. We'll just leave it at that. So that was Raw. A little bit of a shaky show this week. But of course, it's been shaky for a while. We go to SmackDown. Oh, and Sasha Banks, the boss, going after Bianca Belair, getting ready for a rematch of what a lot of people think is still leading the way for match of the year from WrestleMania. So we're going to get that rematch, it looks, at SummerSlam. That one I'm excited about. And I think Bianca gave us one of our biggest memories of the year when she whipped Sasha with her hair. For those that don't know, of course, Bianca Belair's got that massively long ponytail. Good Lord, have you ever heard a crack like that on the human skin? Oh, that left a mark, too. So we're going to get to see Bianca and Sasha at SummerSlam again. Bianca wrestled Zelina Vega, of course, during the same show, you know, when people are demanding title shots and our SmackDown GMs say, well, you can't just demand a title shot. Zelina demanded a title shot and got it, or at least came close to it. Said, you know, she got the match. But Zelina Vega gets thrown right in with Bianca Belair, and she is history. Eh. Finn Balor beats Baron Corbin. This gimmick with Corbin. He may have a promo of the year candidate a little while ago. God, the shot at Cleveland in that promo where he's explaining why he's lost all his money. That was something. But Finn Balor takes care of him. But, of course, we're still waiting to see where this is going to all lead with Roman Reigns. Of course, he was going to wrestle Roman Reigns. The contract was going to get signed, and John Cena walks in. Everybody's getting beat up, and John Cena just scribbles Finn Balor's name out, and Cena is now the challenger for Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. I wish that I could go and find somebody's contract here at the station. You know, somebody that's got, you know, getting paid a little bit more than me, and just take their contract and scribble my name on it and say, ah, that's mine. That's mine. I'm now making six figures instead of 6 cents. That was so stupid. But Finn Balor trying to get back in the act there. We'll see where that all ends up. Jey Uso had a decent match with Dominic Mysterio on there. Shinsuke Nakamura and Apollo Crews continue their little feud. Oh, the Shotzi Blackheart tank. Tegan Nox beats Tamina. And what caused this to end, Shotzi Blackheart shot a missile from her tank causing the distraction, and Tegan Knox gets the pin. I don't know what to say about this tank. I really don't. It was cute in NXT. I mean, it's a nice little thing. I mean, you know, I'd love to throw my daughter in the tank and let her ride that around, but, oh, good Lord. I don't know. Edge and Seth Rollins have agreed to their match at SummerSlam, so we're going to get to see two incredible performers at SummerSlam as well, so that should be pretty exciting. And Montez Ford got in with Dolph Ziggler and gets a win there. So that was SmackDown. Some decent stuff on SmackDown. But, of course, you know, getting ready for Reigns and Cena. That's another one, too. You know, Vince is sitting there saying, hey, we're gonna make sure that we're keeping this young. We want these young guys in here. Your two championship matches at SummerSlam feature John Cena and Goldberg. The youth movement is a long way away. I want to head it over to AEW. The Labors of Jericho, of course, so we've seen the match with the chairman, Sean Spears and Chris Jericho. The Domino's Pizza Cutter Bloodfest with Nick Gage. Labor number 3. As Juventud Guerrera is pulled off the scrap heap and takes on Le Champion. Chris Jericho needing to get a move off the top rope to win the match. Nails him with a diving Judas effect. Little nostalgia match there. Don't know. I would have rather seen Nick Gage be the final match before Jericho got to MJF. But, yeah, decent match. Moxley, Kingston, and Darby Allin with Sting get a win. I don't know who they wouldn't get a win on, but nice for them. Good to see. And I really like Eddie Kingston, by the way. I hope that guy wins the AEW title sometime. And he's really, from what we're hearing, he's really becoming a leader in the locker room back there. Christian Cage beats the Blade. Christian getting a win. Outworks the Blade. Good for him. Just wondering if we're going to be seeing the Christian at the all-out pay-per-view as the challenger for the world championship. What else do we have here? Let's see. Miro getting a win on Lee Johnson. Miro looking really good. Man, I'll tell you. I wish we could say Miro Day. But, of course, he was Rusev in WWE. But Miro getting a victory there, not a surprise. And Miro is really on a roll. But give Lee Johnson some credit. Had some pretty good spots. But a nice match for both of those guys. Having some an NWA World Women's Championship Eliminator match. Of course, AEW is really digging into working with other promotions, of course, with Impact, NWA, New Japan. Had a Women's Eliminator match on that one. Of course, one that a lot of people are talking about is this main event. Malakai Black makes his debut, and boy, I'll tell you what, did he look good coming out of the tunnel. Great intro for him. Makes him look like this is a guy I'd be scared of. I'd be scared of him. But he comes out and is taking on Cody Rhodes. Of course, after that attack a week ago, and you would think, man, we're in for a Matt classic on this one. This is going to be a long, nasty, brutal match. Oh, no. Au contraire, mon frère. Malakai Black just squashed him. Like a 4-minute match. Cody's complaining and saying he's, you know, I may retire and all this fun stuff. But they are pushing Malakai Black to the moon. And a very impressive win for him. You know, a lot of people are questioning why you squash Cody Rhodes. But, of course, Cody did that once before, too, when he was taking on Brody Lee and they were wrestling over the TNT title. And Brody Lee just crushed him. But it set up an interesting rematch. But now we have Cody doubting himself. It's the doubting yourself storyline. for Cody Rhodes, one of the executive VPs of AEW. But I have a feeling these two are not done yet. But Malakai Black is making WWE look really, really bad, letting him go. And, you know, that's one of those that release is a mistake. And I think along with, you know, Bray Wyatt, that was a mistake. And, of course, not re-signing Daniel Bryan. That's kind of a boo-boo, too. Pretty nuts. Speaking of WWE, take a fast look here at what's going on at SummerSlam. Of course, we're going to be down at Allegiant Stadium for this one. Masked up, unfortunately. I love cheering through a mask. That's going to be a lot of fun. But still, it's going to be a good time. We're looking forward to having the WWE, their first major stadium show, going to be down at Allegiant Stadium. Here's where we are right now on the card. Kind of want to start from the bottom up. Finn Balor is going to be taking on Baron Corbin, it looks like. We'll see if that holds up. I have a feeling there could be something more interesting into this for Finn Balor, but we'll see. We'll see if that match gets finalized. Looking like we should be seeing AJ Styles and almost defending the tag titles, or the Raw tag titles, against Randy Orton and Riddle. Still waiting for Randy Orton to get back here, but I don't know. That'll be interesting, having Randy Orton in the ring with Omos, and see what they can do with that. Obviously, we're setting up a U.S. title match with Sheamus against Damian Priest. And you know, I have a feeling we're going to see a pretty solid match on that one, too. I'm excited to see the former Punishment Martinez. Of course, he was in Ring of Honor. And he's been getting the push, had the fun with Bad Bunny. I'm sure Picasso in there knows about Bad Bunny. Did you see him wrestle? You got to look that up, man. Bad Bunny did a good job. He was good. I mean, for a rapper to go out at WrestleMania on a date to debut and, well, really tore the house down. But we'll see. Look like we'll be seeing Sheamus against Damian Priest, and would imagine that Sheamus is going to go over. Next show, we'll discuss predictions on that. SmackDown tag title match, the Usos taking on the Mysterios. The Usos, looking good. Looks like the DUI has disappeared, but we'll see who gets over on that one. But Edge and Seth Rollins, and that one, I am really excited to see that one. These two guys, of course, two of the top professionals in the game, and we'll see how that one all turns out. Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, with Sasha challenging for the title. Looking forward to catching that one there. And then, of course, we got the Lashley-Goldberg match, Nikki A.S.H. taking on Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley at SummerSlam. And we'll see if they decide to put Nikki over. I would bet not, but certainly a great opportunity for her to continue this new gimmick and keep rolling with the title. And, of course, Roman Reigns and John Cena. We'll see if Roman makes it 2-0 against Hustle, Loyalty, and Respect. So should be a terrific card down at SummerSlam. I know there's still some tickets available, so if you want to come down, maybe next week I'll tell them where I'm sitting. Kazo, should I tell them where I'm sitting? I should? Yeah, maybe I'll tell everybody. I'll tell you what, next week I'll tell everybody what seats we've got, and we would love to have you say hi, because I know I'm going to try and get down there early, kind of take things in and enjoy the atmosphere of SummerSlam. So looking forward to seeing you all out at Allegiant Stadium. Now, we did tease a little story about what happened at the Olympics, and really getting some, this is getting some traction. Gable Steveson from the University of Minnesota, of course, NCAA champion and world champion. If you miss this, if you like just wrestling at all, go back and watch this last 30 seconds. He is down 3 points in the 125-kilogram freestyle tournament. Steveson pulls off two takedowns, and actually it was two takedowns in about 20 seconds, and managed to win the gold medal. Steveson did that really cool backflip, and after he won, of course, bringing home a gold for the USA. But what is pretty interesting. WWE on Twitter congratulated Stevenson for the win. And as did Triple H. And there are rumors going around that Stevenson is very interested in getting into professional wrestling. Of course, it would have some MMA potential as well. But apparently, WWE has had their eye on him for a long time. Paul Heyman, of course, the advocate for Roman Reigns and previously Brock Lesnar, has apparently been watching him since high school, according to this article that I'm looking at on Around the Rings. But Heyman has been keeping an eye on him. Of course, his brother is already in WWE. And Stevenson apparently said he wanted Heyman to be his manager. He's a huge professional wrestling fan. So we'll see if he ends up there. Of course, AEW really hasn't talked to him yet. But this would be a huge get following in the footsteps of guys like Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, great amateur wrestlers. Of course, we've seen a lot of other ones over the years, like Danny Hodge, Lou Thesz, Chad Gable, Masa Saito, and so on, Jeff Cobb. A lot of great amateur wrestlers have gone on in the pro ranks. And boy, I'll tell you what, this guy's got a ton of charisma. And if he ever says, you know what, let's go for it, I think he's going to get paid too. Yeah, and did you know he actually got $250,000 prize money for his winning his gold medal from USA Wrestling? So, Gable Stevenson, watch that name. It should be fun to see where he ends up and what he ends up doing. Let's see, we're at about 2 minutes to go-ish here on the Mark Hoke Show. So, once again, want to remind everybody, if you want to follow the show, feel free to do so. We'd love to have you check in with us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, our Facebook page, The Mark Hoke Show. And check out the website too, by the way, markhokeshow.com. And if you go to the website, you can actually subscribe and send us your input. You know, what you think of the show, any questions you might have, just hop on to the homepage there on markhokeshow.com and you can put your input down there. Just slide on down there and go to the subscribe or submit a request and ask a question, and you can be a part of the Mark Hoke Show. We always had a great time with the poker show, getting everybody's input and doing setting up interactive events and things like that. So we'd love to have you on there. Of course, you can also follow follow us on KDON. Of course, we have some great programming coming up all week long here on KDON at 101.5 FM, 720 AM. We are the talk of Las Vegas. Great station, and we'd love to have you check out shows like Steve Sanchez, SportsX Radio, Ken Thompson. You know, Ken's over in Canton right now at the Football Hall of Fame, so we're looking forward to getting Ken back in here. But, yeah, we'd love to have you join in the Mark Hoke Show family, of course. Have all our followers left over from the old show, and we'd love to have you join in the fun as well. So we certainly do appreciate it. Once again, condolences to the families of Bobby Eaton and Jody Hamilton. You guys are going to be missed, especially Bobby. One of the greats, no question about it, and a lot of memories watching those matches with the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express, Road Warriors, Fantastics. It was something. Hey, thanks for joining us on this edition of the Mark Hoke Show. We will see you next week. Hopefully the gang's going to be back, and we'll get a full SummerSlam preview. Thanks for being with us here on KDWN, the Talk of Las Vegas. Have a great Sunday.